T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, so you know the drill. When the Red Sox don't play at night, or in this case, not at all, then I get to come in here a lot on those days. For example, this is a good week, right? Because the Red Sox are off today. They play the Twins the next couple of days in Minnesota. And Thursday, which is NBA draft night, the Red Sox have a day game that day. So we'll have a late night extended draft dance remix, basketball style. But tonight... there's a couple things that caught my attention. Now, I want to work my way towards the transaction. I'm a big fan of the transaction, and this one involving the Red Sox. But I heard, now I was, I'm not going to admit, or lie rather, I was sleeping. I will admit I was sleeping earlier. I do an overnight show in addition to this. So I was sleeping when OMF were on, but I did hear the podcast version of their chit-chat with Pedro Martinez. I don't know if you were listening earlier, but I actually wanted to start with that because I had a couple of thoughts. Pedro, they covered a lot of stuff. Pedro Martinez, he talked about the baseballs that are used today. He's not a fan of that. Just the general state of pitching in baseball. He complained about the dynamic that's going on in the sport of baseball as far as, you know, home run, strikeout, and pretty much nothing else. He whined about that. He also commented about David Price cutting back on video games. He had something to say about that. He announced to the rest of the world how to get J.D. Martinez out. But the things I wanted to focus in on that caught my attention, the baseball conversation, right? The baseball conversation. I'm going to expand on this, but we have the audio. All right, let's play the audio here. This is from earlier OMF. Pedro Martinez was on. He talked about the baseballs, and that there's something unkosher about those baseballs.
I totally agree. I think the game has changed. Not as much true baseball like we used to have. I see a lot of young players coming up, a lot of injuries, which is sad as well. A lot of kids that haven't really spent the proper time in the minor leagues, and it's sad to see them get hurt sometimes. Also, the balls, I did notice, because I'm always, you know, I was a field pitcher, and I was always messing around with the ball. I do feel like the balls are a little bit tighter. And the horseshoe on the seams of the ball, it's a little bit narrower. I think it's a little bit narrow because I have skinny fingers, and it's almost impossible for me to get grip a two-seam fastball and not have either finger touching the seams of the ball, which is something very unusual. Before, you were able to get one finger on top of a seam and still have a little bit of a space to play.
All right. So that was Pedro. That's the gist of it here. And I'm just imagining the guy that got into his car and turned on the radio and heard that and takes it out of context. Because that could feel totally different. If you just hear Pedro Martinez doing a deep dive on balls, you'd be like, what the hell's going on here? Now, this is one of my pet peeves, right? One of my pet peeves here is that it's always the baseball. I remember doing radio back in the heyday of the steroid era, and at that time, people were saying, well, it's the baseball's juice. That's why the home runs are going up. And here you got Pedro Martinez on WEI earlier talking about he felt like the ball was different. As he said, in his words, a little bit tighter there. The seams of the baseball were narrower, and that was part of the reason we're in the conundrum, if there is such a thing as a conundrum. Here's the odd thing about baseball, right? The ratings for baseball, at least from what I have seen, have not nosedived. People are still watching baseball on television. The problem that baseball has is it's an older crowd and advertisers generally, as a rule, want younger people, right? That's what they look for. Looking for that younger demographic, and the argument is, well, baseball's fans are dying, but they have not seen a direct correlation as far as the television ratings are concerned in baseball. And I think most would agree, I think we can all agree, that there's got to be some kind of balance in the sport of baseball, that the pendulum has swung way too far into home run land. That the ability to consistently create a rally is almost extinct. In fact, for some franchises, it is completely gone. Right? It's gone the way of the dinosaur. And that it's undervalued. The teams that can get a runner on first, like a leadoff walk, sacrifice the runner to second, or have the runner steal second, go to third on a sac fly, and then a ground out, and you can score a run, that is completely brushed aside. It is trivialized. In fact, teams that do that are diminished, right? They're talked down. They're not built up. They're like, nah. But in the playoffs, that used to be the way you win in the playoffs. Now, last year, if you look at, you know, small sample size, and also, might I add, recency bias, but if you look at how the Dodgers and the Astros got to the World Series, and the Astros ultimately winning the World Series, they did it by hitting a bunch of home runs. That's how they did it. Hit a bunch of home runs, and that model hasn't changed. You look at the way the game's gone here, but as far as the point I was trying to get to, and Pedro Martinez talked about the amount of home runs. If you heard the full interview, and I recommend it. It's on the website. You can check it out on the podcast on WEI or the app on WEI.com. But he complained about the pitch. It's in the podcast section. It's audio on demand, right? It's audio on demand, I think. Yes. All right, you can find it there. But here's the point. All right, there's got to be a little bit of balance here, right? You can't have everyone trying to hit home runs. You got to have you would think in the perfect world you'd have a mix and match of some guys that hit a bunch of home runs, and then you got a bunch of other guys that, you know, are contact hitters, get on base. You don't have to be necessarily contact hitter, because that's a negative term now in baseball. In fact, I had a conversation the other day about, we were talking about Bryce Harper on the overnight show, and the general consensus among baseball is that batting average doesn't matter. Heading into today, Bryce Harper was hitting .217 for the Washington Nationals, and pretty much all of baseball, it doesn't matter. They don't care. As long as he hits a bunch of home runs, I like him hit more than that. But he's going to get paid a ton of money by someone this offseason. Baseball has turned a blind eye to batting average. It's like I said, the teams that play baseball where you put together a bunch of hits and you try to play that way and have a couple of guys that hit home runs, that is like taboo today. And then, listen, the Red Sox are pretty lucky. They got a very good offensive team. But even the Red Sox, as good as the Red Sox offense has been, and it's, if not the number one offense in baseball, it's right there depending on which statistical category you're looking at. The Red Sox, the thing about it is the bottom of their order stinks. I mean, they're scoring a bunch of runs, and yet the bottom of the order, garbage for the most part. So, you know, Pedro Martinez and these other old timers, some of it's just complaining and being grumpy. You know, the last generation complains about the next generation. That's pretty much been the way it's been my entire life in all of these sports. This generation will complain about the next generation. It's the circle of life in sports conversation. That's how it goes. All right, meanwhile, it's just gone final. Moments ago in Washington, D.C., the Yankee National game, it is over. And the Yankees have won that game. So a couple of games, they had the makeup game and then the rainout game. And the Yankees win 4-2 over the Nationals. Aroldis Chapman closes it out. So the Yankees and Red Sox, if you look at your American League Eastern Division standings, the Yankees and Red Sox after this, tied up. Still, the Red Sox trailing by two games in the loss column, but the Yankees won that late game tonight, 4-2. Now, meanwhile, we'll get away from Pedro Martinez. You can hear that podcast on the WEI website. But The weekend series, big heavyweight matchup for the Red Sox against the Mariners. Scored a draw. And now they're off to Minnesota this week. Now, the trade chatter has been cranked up. In fact, we had a trade tonight in baseball. We'll get to that a little bit later, not involving the Red Sox. But we're several weeks away from the meat and potatoes of the trade chatter. And it is never too early to speculate. And much of the talk has been about, well, what are the Red Sox going to do? They need to do anything. They're sitting at 49-24, and in all of baseball, in all of the big leagues, the Yankees and Red Sox have the top two records. Right? The top four teams in baseball are all American League teams. It is an absolute stacked deck in the American League. And so the obvious answer for the Red Sox, if you look at where are they deficient, offense behind the plate, they're not getting much, if anything. The bullpen, the fact that the bullpen, there's some holes starting to pop up here in the Red Sox bullpen. There's some weak links that need to be addressed. However, could the Red Sox make an outside-the-box move? For example, many have tossed out the possibility of going big. Big game hunting for the Red Sox, something that Dave Dombrowski has done in the past. And certainly, if you look at his track record and base future moves based on past results, you would say that the Red Sox are more likely than not to do something outside of the norm that you would say. Which the conservative thing would be just to get a relief pitcher or two. Maybe you get another catcher, but it doesn't have to be an everyday catcher, just someone that you can mix in who's a little bit better. It sounds like they're going to continue to ride the wave of strikeouts and a home run once every couple of weeks for Jackie Bradley Jr. What about Rafael Devers, though? Is that a possibility? Could he be someone that's traded? Now, Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports and the fledgling Athletic, he reported that, you know, it's Dave Dombrowski's belief that the Red Sox are not a match for Manny Machado, which some connecting the dots saying, well, Rafael Devers has not been overly good. He did have a three-run homer on Sunday in Seattle, had a couple of hits in that game, and he has been better of late. He hit the ball very well in the last four games he's played in. And he's got three multi-hit games, something like that. He's been good lately for the Red Sox, but overall, the numbers are not great. He's hitting 239 this year. The slugging percentage is a little over 400. The on-base numbers, he's just not getting on-base, Rafael Devers. He's got a 287 on-base percentage. Those are unremarkable numbers. So even if Manny Ramirez is outside of the realm of possibilities because of the finances, which I never believe for the Red Sox, I think the Red Sox are always able to find more money. Right? There's always some more money hidden in the couch somewhere. If they want, they can get the money to spend on Machado. Now, it's a two-way street, right? He's going to have to want to stay, and there's some debate whether that's actually going to be the case, that he's got his eyes on New York or some other faraway tropical destination. But as far as Rafael Devers is concerned, right, he's hit a little better the last week, which is a very small sample size. His defense has been amateurish. He's got a very good arm. He's got a bazooka for an arm, but he's not exactly going to win a gold glove anytime soon as a third baseman in the American League. So the question, and I'll pose it, I'll frame it this way. You are now going to help out the Red Sox. You're going to help them out. They don't have to do anything. The conservative road would be to do nothing. To just, like I said, make a minor transaction, improve one of the secondary bullpen roles, and that's it. Everything else will take care of itself. But if you were to give some advice, would you trade Rafael Devers? Is he untouchable? Now, Here's my position on this. I don't believe he's untouchable. I don't think anybody's untouchable. So I totally dismiss the idea that Rafael Devers, or anybody else for that matter, is untouchable. Now, you can make the argument that Mike Trout with the Angels, although we had him traded last time I was here last week. I tried to work out a trade with Blair in Maine. Didn't work out. He would not agree to terms of the trade. I was trying to hammer out a deal for Mike Trout to come to the Red Sox. But the point is, other than Mike Trout and maybe one or two other players in baseball, anyone can be traded. So the idea that Rafael Devers is untouchable, I get the youth. I understand that. Here are my thoughts. I got work in progress, the Achilles heel, and moose hunting. Moose hunting. We'll tie all this together. Now, number one, Rafael Devers is not a finished project. He's not. Listen, play the age game. Right? You play the age game, and there are certain people that are convinced that every young player is going to be destined for greatness. And I am not in that camp. Now, certainly you'd rather have young players because they're generally cheaper, right? The way the baseball pay structure works. And Rafael Devers is 21 years old. His birthday is in October. He'll be 20. He was born in 1996. His birthday is in October, turned 22 years old. So that is both a blessing and a curse. Because if you're an optimist, which I generally side the other way, but if you're an optimist, you'll say, well, this guy's a future 35-plus home run player who can be a Red Sox for the next 10 years. He can play at Fenway and be a rock, a stable force for the Red Sox for years to come. Now, if you're a pessimist, or as I like to call it, a realist, you will point out the maddening inconsistency of his offense and the sloppiness of his defense. Now, players do get better, but they don't always get better, right? They don't always get better. And, you know, long term, there are questions of whether or not Rafael Devers is going to be able to continue to be a third baseman. Is he eventually going to have to play first base? Is he going to have to be a designated hitter down the line? Is this someone whose his conditioning is going to be problematic? There is no guarantee of stardom, right? I know I've pushed back on this, but as I said, a work in progress here, it does not always blossom the way you expect. Devers is on pace this year for 33 doubles, 24 home runs, and he's been reliable. He's been reliable. He's played a lot. He's on pace to play in 155 games. You'd assume that that's going to slow down, that he's not going to play 155 games this year. But, I mean, you look at that and say, well, that's, you know, for a 21-year-old, 33 doubles and 24 home runs is pretty good, right? But the question is, do the Red Sox want to put up with the growing pains and the shaky, hot and cold defense that Devers provides at third base? And you can say, well, it's third base. If he was a shortstop or a second baseman or a center fielder, you'd be like, wow, there's no way. But third base, you can ride a guy who's not the most dynamic defensive player. You can overcome that. But do the Red Sox want to do that? Are they completely all in on Rafael Devers as a core player? And many seem to think that's the case. Now, the second thing here, and this is where it gets interesting, because Rafael Devers, like many of the Red Sox regulars, have a similar Achilles heel. Now, you know as well as I know by watching the Red Sox, what is the weak link on this Red Sox team? What is it? What, if you want to slow the Red Sox down to a crawl, what do you have to do? That's right. You start a left-handed pitcher. The Red Sox this year, when right-handed pitchers start, the Red Sox are 41-15. They have a .732 winning percentage against right-handed starters. Good, bad, and ugly. Right? Doesn't matter. And then, you know, as stunning as that is and as great as that is, how about the left-handers, right? This is where we nitpick. The Red Sox have only faced 17 left-handed starting pitchers, and they have a losing record against left-handed starting pitching. And most of that is because of an inept, limp offense against left-handed pitching. The Red Sox are 8-9 against left-handers. So you do not have to be an MLB guru. You don't have to be one of these Ken Dolls on the MLB Network or one of these inside baseball guys to know that is going to be the ultimate test when you look down the line for the Red Sox as far as this offense. Mookie Betts is fine against left-handers. Xander Bogaerts has been good. J.D. Martinez has been good. Those guys have been consistent against right-handed pitching or left-handed pitching. It doesn't matter. But overall, the Red Sox as a team are hitting 235 against left-handers. 235 is their batting average. Andrew Benintendi, who got off to that miserable start, has been pretty good lately. He's hitting .197. Jackie Bradley Jr. is hitting .120 against left-handed pitching this year. And Rafael Devers, who's right there in that category, he's hitting .203. So what does that mean? Right? What does it mean? It means that when you get down to the end of the season in October, the Red Sox can expect a steady diet of left-handed pitching. In fact, one of the rumors that's going around, in addition to whether or not Manny Machado is going to be traded, one of the other talking points in baseball involves the Yankees and the Seattle Mariners, who are trying to get a left-handed pitcher by the name of J.A. Happ of the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, why are they trying to get a left-handed pitcher? In part, the belief is because of October. You're looking down the line. You're looking ahead. You're saying, okay, well, if you're the other teams in the American League, top four teams are all American League teams, as we said, and you're projecting on how do you beat the Red Sox in the playoffs. Well, one of the ways to slow down their offense is you just start left-handed pitching. And so the Yankees, who only have one left-handed starter in their rotation, who's a regular, CC Sabathia, they're trying to get J.A. Happ from Toronto. The Astros have not been mentioned. They have Dallas Keuchel, and he's their only left-hander. The Mariners have James Paxton and Marco Gonzalez and Wade LeBlanc. The Red Sox saw the Mariners over the weekend, but J.A. Happ's also a possibility for Seattle. So those are the teams that the Red Sox have to get through in the American League playoffs, and they all have varying degrees of left-handed pitching that the Red Sox are going to have to go against. Now, the last thing here, we'll take some phone calls. We'll open up the phone lines in a minute here. The last thing, the smart money, and I always try to be on the side of the smart money. The smart money says the Red Sox are going to deal for bullpen help. Now, the name that gets mentioned quite a bit is Zach Britton of Baltimore. And he got hurt. He missed a lot of time. And then his name came up last year at the trade deadline. And he didn't get traded last year, got hurt. Now he's back, and his name's popped up yet again. That would be a wonderful addition to the backside of the Red Sox bullpen. And if you're not going to get Manny Machado, if that is outside the realm of possibility, if you're going to close the door on Manny Machado, then I have a different name. Now, if you're going to look for a mild upgrade at third base, and you might not even have to trade Rafael Devers to make this happen. Now, you know who the Red Sox should go after? They want to improve third base a little bit. I'll give you a hint. It's moose hunting season. That's right, Mike Moustakas, the Moose, 29-year-old. He's had a miserable Royals team this year, former All-Star. Now, he hasn't been playing very well the last month. I would think, based on how the Royals do business, you can get him for pennies on the dollar. The Red Sox, supposedly, according to the baseball wonks, their minor league system is discouraging. So, if that's the case, you would think that Dave Dombrowski can be encouraged by getting a trade in for someone that you don't have to give up blue chip minor league players to get. You want a rental player, and Moustakas, I would think, at Fenway would hit a bunch of home runs, is a better defensive player than Rafael Devers, and you don't necessarily have to be married to Moustakas for years and years to come because of the contract. So that's a nice risk to take. And, you know, again, Rafael Devers, as I say, he's not untouchable. He's still unproven. And I always go by the golden rule when it comes to minor league players or young players in the major leagues that haven't established themselves. A prospect is a suspect until proven otherwise. And Rafael Devers is still a prospect. He hasn't proven that he's going to be a consistently good major league hitter. And we'll get your thoughts on that and talk about this and anything else that's on your mind as we hang out here on a random Monday night Red Sox in Minnesota, starting a three-game set starting on Tuesday. The number, 617-779-7937. That's 617-779-7937. Iman is producing here. You can also hit us up on the text line at 37937. I'm on Twitter, and that's at Ben Maller. That's at Ben Maller. You can be part of the show that way. But where are you at here? The Red Sox, we're still a month and about a month and a half away from the trade deadline, the non-waiver trade deadline in baseball. But trades are starting to happen. In fact, this is the story of the one that got away. The one that got away. What is that about? We will tell you, and we'll take your phone calls, and we'll do it all. And we will do it next.
Yeah, he's set up. He's not as spread out, and he's not open. Timmy and Andy, they made an adjustment with him. He's a lot quieter now with his hands. There's not much movement, and he got to a, remember that game? Well, in Baltimore, he hit the home run, but the previous pitch was fastball up and in, and he got to it very easy, and he hasn't been able to get to a fastball in a while. And that kind of like, you know, we were like, oh, okay, this is working. And then the next pitch was up, and he got to it, and the ball carried. Yesterday he goes the other way. So little by little, he's coming out of it. And, you know, if he gets hot with the way the other guys are swinging the bats, it's going to be fun. There's a guy that everybody knows his potential. Everybody knows that he's 21, that there's a learning curve. But his is here at the big league level, and we have to be patient.
All right, you got to announce your pronoun. That was Alex Cora on last week here on EEI. He was talking about Rafael Devers. We began a few minutes ago talking about Rafael Devers. If that's the cost to assure the Red Sox a trip back to the World Series, which, of course, is a wonderful hypothetical, which we can do, right? The all-important addition to the Red Sox lineup, which has been scoring a ton of runs, right? The offense has not been a problem for the Red Sox. In fact, you could argue that there are no glaring holes for the Red Sox, but we're playing the hypothetical game. The Red Sox, you got to give up something to get something, right? The old argument goes, trades are quid pro quo. And the Red Sox, by most accounts, the baseball scouting community seems to think that the Red Sox are pretty weak as far as their abilities to trade minor league players. There's not a lot there in the minor league. So if you look at the Red Sox here and what they've done so far, they're second in runs scored, and yet the bottom of the Red Sox lineup has gaping holes all over the place. So is Rafael Devers untouchable? I say no. Now, I wouldn't just give him away. Certainly don't trade him for Manny Machado, who is a better player than Rafael Devers, but is also pending free agency and is going to get a gazillion dollars from somebody on the free agent market. But if you can make a deal and improve the roster and get to a position where you can get back to the World Series, the Red Sox already could get to the World Series if they do nothing, but you want to, if you're the front office, you want to close the gap even more, right? You're in a four-team race to win the American League pennant. You got the Yankees, Astros, and Mariners, who are all seem like they're going to be there in the postseason. And so how do you beat those other teams? What's it going to take to beat those other teams? All right, if you want to talk here, the number 617-779-7937. That's 617-779-7937. And there was a trade tonight in baseball, and a player that some said the Red Sox should go out and get will not be coming to Fenway. The Kansas City Royals have traded Kelvin Herrera, their relief pitcher, former All-Star relief pitcher Kelvin Herrera, back in the glory days when the Royals were in the World Series back-to-back years. Yeah, that guy, Kelvin Herrera, he has been traded to the Washington Nationals for three minor league players. And so the Nationals now will, we assume, make Kelvin Herrera their closer, but he goes to Washington, so he does not end up going to the Red Sox. Kelvin Herrera, though, this year in Kansas City, had a 1.05 earned run average. He had pitched 25 and two-thirds innings for the Royals, had two walks, two walked batters in 25 and two-thirds innings of work over 27 different games for Kansas City. That is a high ratio of strikes for Mr. Herrera, who's now headed to join Bryce Harper and the Washington Nationals. To the phones we go. Let's go to Eric on the cell, who's driving around, I assume. What's going on, Eric? You're next up here on EEI. Oh, he's gone. Let's go to Kelly. What's going on, Kelly?
Hey, what's up, dude? I heard you cut into me there, but I'm not Eric, but I am here. What's up?
Yeah, all right. Well, I wanted to talk to you anyway, Kelly. What's on your mind?
Chilling. So my point is about Devers. I wouldn't say he's untouchable, but I disagree about the prospect thing, or maybe I do agree that a prospect is a suspect until proven otherwise. I think he has proved otherwise. Now, has he proved that he can do it for years and years? No. I mean, we won't know that until years and years go by. But
so, hold on. Yeah. Kelly, come on.
Yes.
I know you're an optimistic fellow, but you can't tell me that Devers at this point has proven he's an established player. He's not. That's not reality. He's hitting .239 this year.
He has shown that. Yeah, and what's Jackie Bradley hitting? He has shown.
Well, he stinks too. I would. You don't want to use Jackie Bradley as the model here.
Is he an MLB player or not? He's been here a million years. All I'm saying is, has Devers proven that he can do it consistently for years and years? No, we won't know that until years and years go by, but he has shown that he can do it at the major league level. He's doing it right now. He's hitting for power at a big time in these last couple months. But I got one thing that I really got to call you out on, Bud. I really like your show. I was excited when they brought you over. But in America, you say a phone number 334. You don't go 343. You say the number all crazy, and nobody even knows how to call in. It goes.
Oh, come on! I say the number the proper way. How dare you rip my ability to give out a phone number? What's wrong with you?
617-779.
Yeah.
797.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, Kelly. Let me explain something. I'll tell you Radio 101. Okay, you smart guy over there.
Yes,
most
sir.
People that are listening to the radio, this is shocking, are not staring at the radio, listening to every stupid word I say. All right? So I go slowly. So if they're so inclined to call in, they're like, oh, he talks slowly so I can write the number down. How about that?
No. It's not about the speed. It's about the pace. It's about the spacing. You say...
You're annoyed with my cadence.
Yes, because here's the thing. You don't say the last three at the end. I get it that you're trying to point out that it's on 93.7, which is all good.
That's the gimmick, Kelly. I'm promoting the station while I'm giving out the number. That's called multitasking, Kelly, is what it is. Multitasking.
All I'm saying is there's some guy out there with a hot take on Kyrie Irving and he can't call in because he's like, wait a minute, he went 3-4-3. It's supposed to go 3-3-4.
Kelly, I know, listen, I know you call all the time. I know you're a regular here. I understand that. And there's a lot of these guys that are regulars. If you can't figure out how to find a number, all right, the number's everywhere. You can Google the number. It's on the website. I'm on WEI.com right now. There it is. There's the phone number. If you need me, I'm just giving a reminder. That's like a sign that if you want to call, you can call up. Why am I fighting over the phone number? What the hell's going on here?
I don't know. I mean, when I forget the number, I just call Weed Man Hippie. But I
yeah, yeah, that's the guy to call. Call him up. He'll give you some other stuff, too. See, I was going to change it, but now I'm just going to keep giving out the number that way. Now, just to annoy him, I'm going to give out the number. Listen, I hope you're listening, Kelly. 617-779-7937. You see what I did there? You see that? That's promotion. All right. I nailed that, right, Iman? Is that that's
that was a pretty good rant.
Yeah, it's a proper way to give out the number.
I would never thought that I would agree with Kelly and Amherst, but I do. The way you give out the number is weird.
So you're annoyed. So how?
No,
how
not
would you
annoyed.
Like
That's
me
strong.
To, no, I feel like you're annoyed. How would you like me to give out the number?
You know, the normal way, like Kelly said.
Well, I feel like I'm giving out the number the normal way. I'm promoting the station at the same time by I'm giving out the number and promoting the station. Do you feel like I'd get more phone calls if I gave out the number your way?
Yes, you would.
So what's your way? You're pretend you're on the air right now, which you are on the air. How would you give out the number? Go ahead.
617-779-7937.
All right, that's how I'm doing. I just pause. I pause more. That's it.
No, he's right. You do put that four, first seven on the four digit at the end. You put it with the three.
So you're saying that I should forget the seven. I should focus more on the 90.
93.7 is what should be focused on, yeah. I think.
So I should go 617-779-7937.
Bang.
So I should overlook the seven.
Skip right by it.
All right. So I'll ignore the seven. I'll get the first three sevens. I'll get that fine. I'll ignore pretty much the last seven. Then I'll move on. Well, I'll not the last seven. Now I'm confused. So the number, I should say the number. I'll get this right here. So 617-779-7937, like that. I feel like this is a bad ripoff of that Howard Stern movie. And like Kellyanne Amherst is like pig vomit. The program director trying to get me to give out the number a certain way. I thought I was doing fine with the number. People seem to be calling here. When I come in here and do these shows, people seem to be calling. What the hell's going on?
I just think you would get even more.
So, I mean, see, now I don't want to, but I can't bow down to Kellyanne Amherst, though.
I do like your inclination not to give in to the callers. That's a good instinct.
Yeah, my instinct is if the caller recommends something, I run the other way. I run to the hills. That's generally my tendency as a talk show host, to run the other way. But you, as the executive producer, Iman, if you recommend this, well, that's different. If you want me to avoid focusing on that 7 and instead go the 93.7, I can do that.
I mean, just a thought, you know, try it out. If it doesn't work, go back to the old way.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know the number. I think we've given it out enough for the rest of the hour. I don't think I'll be giving out the number at all the rest of the hour. But you can hit me up on Twitter, @ Ben Maller. Let's go back. Actually, Eric called up earlier. We got disconnected. We were talking about the Red Sox and the trade situation with Rafael Devers. And we say hello to Eric. Eric, what's going on, man?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Eric, what's the proper way to give out the phone number, Eric? If you were doing a show, how would you give out the number?
Honestly, I was able to type it in just the way you said it.
You see that, Eric? You're a smart man. This is a man who's got a life. You've got a family that loves you, Eric. You understand when I give out a phone number, how to transcribe the phone number into your phone, yes?
Yeah, it wasn't that difficult.
Exactly. Yeah. This is anyway. Not – you can do two things at one time. Anyway, what's on your mind, Eric?
Yeah, so I was just thinking about the Rafael Devers situation. He's like an intriguing trade chip because he might be our only trade chip. But I'll give you four reasons why we can't trade him under any circumstances. Chris Sale, Craig Kimbrell, Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts. They're all free agents in two or three years, and they're all going to get paid. There are four of, like, the only all-stars on our team, besides JD and a couple others. You can't keep all those guys without having someone like Devers making the major league minimum. And right now, like, despite the growing pains at third base, he's still about an average offensive to slightly above average third baseman offensively.
Yeah,
I
get what you're saying.
Kyle Seager Sr.
I get what you're saying. I understand your argument, Eric. But to counter that, I would point out that this is going to work itself out. All those guys likely will not be on the Red Sox. I mean, they're not going to be able to keep everybody, right? Some of those guys are going to leave. Some of those guys will underperform. The Red Sox might not want to keep them. It's kind of the ebb and flow, right? Over time, things change. And as far as the minor league system's concerned, I've always gone by the belief that that is a renewable situation. It's like, the farmers in the Midwest. You can plant new plants or new crops every year, and so it's a renewable resource. You can obviously it's not great right now. If you read these scouting reports, the Red Sox minor leagues are devoid of top talent. But you can still, that's an area where in 1 year or 2 years, you completely restack the minor league system. It doesn't take 10 years to redo a minor league system.
You're right, but it would take a little bit too long for this window of contention I'd feel a lot better about it if our best minor league prospect, hitting-wise, that could replace Devers at third base as soon as next year, wasn't suspended for juicing.
That is a monkey wrench in the plans of the Reds. I'm not gonna push back on that, Eric. I'm not gonna disagree. All right, thank you, man. I appreciate it. All right, it's Ben Maller and you. We are hanging out late night. I'm learning how to give out the phone number the way that Iman wants, producer Iman here. Not for Kelly and Amherst. So let me try this here. So 617-779-7937. Is that right?
You did it again. You put the 7 in the middle.
So I can't put, so I got to go 7797937 or I got to go 7937?
7797937.
But that's putting it in the middle too, you know. You kind of put it in the middle there also.
7797937. I mean, you're kind of separating it by itself, actually, in that instance.
I'm putting it on an island as a special 7.
I like it, yeah.
It's a magical number 7. It's got mystical powers is what it's got. All right, time now for the Who Am I game, a blatant attempt to get you to listen a little bit longer. Thus, it's the Who Am I game. Here we go. I am the batter that has the most 2-strike hits in baseball since the start of the 2015 season. They say that's the hardest count when you got 2 strikes to get hits in that situation because the batting average goes down. But of all the players in professional baseball, I have the most 2-strike hits in the big league since 2015. Who am I? That is the question. The answer next. All right, back to it. We go talking about the Red Sox are off tonight in Minnesota for the start of a 3-game series starting on Tuesday night. Got the Twinkies the rest of the week and then back home after that, I do believe. And the time for the Who Am I game, a blatant attempt to get you to listen a little bit longer. Thus, we call it the Who Am I game. People answering this, a lot of answers coming in on Twitter. And that's at Ben Maller on Twitter. But I am the batter who has the most 2-strike hits in baseball since the start of the 2015 season. They say this is the hardest count to get hits in. You get those 2 strikes on you, your batting average goes way, way down. Some of the guesses coming in. Rob, listening online out in Vegas, is going with Whitey Bulger as his answer. Let's see here. Brian, the Lions guy, Big Bri's going with Niger Morgan. There's a good name. Says he's playing in the Mexican League. Niger Morgan's playing in the Mexican League? I got to look that up. The great Niger Morgan. Didn't he play in Japan also? Is he making the global pilgrimage to play professional baseball? I believe he is. Who else do we have? Dwight Evans, guest by Mike. We have Mo Vaughn, tossed out by Steve in Connecticut. The correct answer, those are all wrong. The correct answer, who else do we have? Let's see, anything else? Brenton, listening in Maine, got it right. Bad job by you, Brenton. How dare you? The correct answer, Xander Bogaerts of the Red Sox. Xander Bogaerts has 276 2-strike hits since the start of the 2015 season. That is 16 more than any other player in baseball. Next closest from the Chicago White Sox, Jose Abreu with 262 strike hits, but that's number one, Xander Bogaerts of the Red Sox in the big leagues. All right, back to the phones we go, and let's say hello to Steve in Maine, who's next up late night here on EEI. What's going on, Steve?
Hey there.
Yo, it's Ben. What's up, Steve? Talk to me.
Well, a couple things. One is that first of all, I'm a psychologist, so I can tell you one thing, that numbers, when they are put together, are easily remembered. I don't know if you're familiar with the numbers forward, numbers backward test on the IQ test, but that's how you ace that part of it, by remembering numbers, by putting them together. So the larger the number, the better it works. So you're right about the phone call, moving all those numbers together as much as you possibly can.
All right, now, Steve, but you do realize cool. I'm trying a Jedi mind trick here to promote the radio station also.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
I know. Yeah, that was very clever. That's true. Right. But the other thing is, I think the psychology of baseball, one of the biggest things is making sure your pitchers are not tiring out and taking them out early. And I think it's too bad about the trade to Washington, because we need a closer, the Red Sox. But
You don't need a closer, Steve, but you'd like to have another arm, a power arm in the bullpen as an eighth inning guy. But I hear you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But what I'm saying is the coach has got to recognize when his player's tired. He's got to know them inside out and what they can do and what they can't do. And I think that would be a big, big boon to the Red Sox. I want to see the Red Sox take Minnesota all three games, but I don't know if they're going to do that. But I'd like to see it, and I think the key will be take your pitchers out when they're tired, damn it. Oh, sorry.
Look at you, Steve. You're fired up about this. You think that Alex Cora, you believe he is failing in this area? Because I look at it like the Red Sox early, at least the beginning part of the year in April, they were babying the starting pitchers. They were taking them out when they weren't tired. They were prematurely taking them out of games.
Okay, it does happen, but it's better to err on the side of caution and not put your players through it. It's just unwise.
Yeah, but what about the machismo? See, here's my counter-argument. I'll play devil's advocate, Steve. You're the psychologist,
okay? You do that.
Do I have to pay you for this, by the way? Because psychologists cost a lot of
money. Yeah, the bill will be in the mail. You'll get them.
Ah, yeah, send it to care of WEEI, producer Iman. We'll take care of it for me. No problem.
Yeah, right. I'm sure they'll take care of it.
Yeah, how many billable hours do you have? Anyway, so here's the deal, Steve. Let me explain. All right, devil's advocate isn't part of athletics to test. I don't know if machismo is the right word, but you have to test yourself to see how well you can do. I'm trying to think of the right word here. I mean, it's not coming to me here.
I understand exactly.
Yeah.
You know, there's two basic styles in sports. I gave a talk at the American Sports Psychology Network a couple of years back, and one of the things that's very clear is that Michael Jordan had the book Competitive Fire, that this competitive stuff is being replaced by flow. Do you know about flow?
Yeah, rhythm, flow, sure, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's basically in the zone, and flow is the way to get there. It was invented by a psychologist at the University of Chicago, and he's done a lot of research on it. You might want to check it out. But flow, F-L-O-W, and If pitchers are in the flow, they're in that zone, okay, keep them in. But if they're not, keeping them in just frustrates them more and more, and they can't do it. So I'm for looking very closely. Yes, I think you have to keep people in to be competitive, but not when they're tired and not when they're in the flow.
All right, so you're saying control the tempo. And I got to tell you, Steve, I read those thanks for the call. I read those psychology studies that come out. I get completely bogged down with those. It's one of my pathetic habits that I have, and I believe pretty much everything. Right? I'm very gullible. This is a study that was published in some journal of science somewhere, and I read it, and I'm like, okay, I've got the answer. And then, 3 months later, there's another study that comes out from a different university that has a completely different result. And then I'm like, what the hell? What's going on here? But essentially what he was saying was the tempo, the pattern is his argument. But I like and I appreciate when players are empowered and permitted to go far into games. That's not a bad thing. Right? That one of my main complaints over the last handful of years in baseball, and I think if you've been around a while, you might agree with me on this, is the 100 pitch barrier. This magical barrier where you get to 100 pitches, it's this wall, and you can't get past 100 pitches, and it's this point of demarcation for pitchers, and they've been programmed. Generations of pitchers now in baseball have been programmed. Once you reach 100 pitches, that's it. You can't grind it out. You're done. You got to get out of the game. So anyway, all right. It's Ben Maller and you were hanging out late night. I'm learning out how to give out the phone number. I kind of like the way I'm giving it out, but there's no lines open now anyway, so that I don't have to give out the number because every line is full. I like that. People are lined up here. We'll talk more about the Red Sox, and also we'll shift it up a little bit, change over to the Celtics. It's NBA draft week. Is anyone excited about that? Now, the Celtics don't have a top pick in the draft. They have a draft pick near the end of the first round, but that does not mean that the Celtics will not be wheeling and dealing. We'll get to that, and we will do it. We'll do it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.